You're tuned in to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
Welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive. Time clock. The beautiful Friday afternoon in East Tennessee. We are at our Friday home of The Drive, National Law Rex in Farragut. Good to be back out here. Baron Marcus back in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Fellas, sun came up.
That it did. Rather early, I might add.
I was a little bit skeptical when I went to bed last night. I was like, I don't know, maybe this is it. Maybe it's all over. It was a rough night last night for Tennessee fans. We were up late. Voluntary reaction. I didn't get to sleep till about 3 a.m. because I can't just turn that thing off and just go to bed immediately. I'm a little bit wired and it's up early, so hopefully get a full night's sleep tonight. But it was a rough night for Tennessee basketball fans. But I guess we're still here, aren't we, fellas? I don't know. I'm still here. Bear, are you still here?
Yeah, I'm sort of functioning. I got to sleep about 3 and then got up at like 6:30 or 7. I had to be up early this morning, so I'm running on mellow yellow and Tylenol at this point.
Marcus Young, are you still here?
Yes, I am here. It was a rough Thursday for me as well.
Yeah. Apparently, Marcus got mauled by a golden retriever last night.
I didn't get mauled. That's not what I said.
All right. I want to hear about this later. But, it was rough, and I guess our watch party isn't happening tomorrow, so we miss out on that. It cost me a big chunk of change, so it's a lot of whammies out there, but been thinking all day, I guess, about just how to assess this season. And obviously, I'm sure we're going to hear a lot of differing viewpoints today. I'm sure Rick Barnes is going to get beat up on quite a bit, and he gets paid the big bucks, so he can take it. And I think that will be. Well, we're going to hear a lot of that this afternoon. And I do want to open up the phone lines here for the first hour. Just let folks talk it out. It is a mandatory meeting today. Attendance is mandatory. We're all here. And we're going to open up the floor at 865-546-8200. If you want to chime in this afternoon, Big Orange Phillies phone lines, 546-8200. Looking forward, Bear, I just think I look at the short term, what's going to happen this offseason and next year's team. You know, Rick Barnes isn't going anywhere. There's not going to be a coaching change, okay? He's not going to get fired. He's not going to take a pay cut. All the stuff that was talked about last night and I'm sure will be talked about again today, it's not going to happen. He might decide to retire. I would put that chances that happening 10% or less, but he's going to be your basketball coach next year. So short-term versus, you know, long-term, what happens for the rest of his career here, whether that's 3 or 4 years or, you know, 8 or 9 years, I don't know. Nobody knows. We'll discuss that. But in the short term, guys, I think the first thing is you have to figure out your roster next year. And I think it starts with the 4 seniors. And Are any of those guys going to come back? Do you want any of those guys back? I think we are all in agreement that you're probably going to say goodbye to all 4 of those. A mutual parting of the ways, I would term it. Then the second part of that is Julian Phillips and what happens with him. assuming all the other guys come back, which you can never assume in modern college basketball, there's going to be some roster movement here. You got to figure out what you're going to do. You've got to bring in another point guard for, you know, whether BJ is your point guard or not, you're going to have to bring in another one. You can't get caught like you did this season where you get down to the crunch time and you're short of bodies at one of the most important positions. So you got to bring in somebody there. I think you need to bring in another shooter or two. Bear, we've talked about this. I would go high school heavy, man. You can find players out there. There are good college players that have not committed somewhere yet. The portal has just not paid off for Rick Barnes. And unless you can find an elite guy, I know there's a guard from Temple who averages 16 points a game up there who's in the portal. If you can get him, fine. But we haven't gotten players like him in the past couple of years. And I just feel like, my personal opinion, Coach Barnes would be better served going out there and trying to find another Ziegler, another Awaka, guys he added very late in August, over the summer, high school guys that slipped through the cracks from the bigger programs. Those guys have been better than the Tyreek Keys, than the James Daniel the thirds, than the Chris Darringtons, all right? Mm-hmm. I just feel like he'd be much better trying to find guys who fit his mentality, his program, and I would prefer that those guys can shoot, quite frankly. That would be my strong preference for how to address the short term as far as filling out next year's roster goes.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, he just seems to do better. I don't know. I mean, if Chico, I can't remember his last name, from South Carolina, that guard, if he was, I would definitely kick the tires on him. I might on maybe one. It would just depend as far as the portal guys. But overall, yeah, I agree with you. So, I mean, actually, I mean, if all three of our top 100 freshmen come back, which I don't know why they wouldn't, I feel pretty good about – I'm looking forward to seeing what they're going to look like next year and start the next chapter.
And then as far as the long term is concerned, whatever the rest of his tenure is here, I'm going to stick with the 4 to 5 year kind of range right now. Look, I don't know as far as the in-game coaching, which is obviously his biggest weakness. I don't know that anything changes, man. The man is 68 years old. He's been coaching forever. I don't know that he's suddenly going to learn how to utilize his timeouts. I just don't think you can expect that, which is maddening. It's frustrating. I get it. Some of y'all want to fire him for it. It's not going to happen. But I don't know, Bear. I wish there was some sort of class we could send him to, or some set of, assistant he could hire that could help him with that. But dang it, man. I don't know why this guy consistently waits until it's too late to use those timeouts. It is, without a doubt, the most frustrating aspect of his tenure here.
I mean, he'll have two to start the season from last night.
I don't think those carry over. I don't think that's the way it works.
Does he know that?
I don't know, man. I don't know. But I think just long-term, it's going to be interesting. Justin Gainey is up for the High Point job, as Martin first told us about weeks ago. That was confirmed. VolQuest had that note today. So that's a real thing. If he leaves, does Des Oliver just slide right back in? And maybe Polinsky slides over to the Gainey / Mike Schwartz chair right next to him, to become Barnes's Svengali, his coach whisperer or whatever. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what happens there.
I'd be all right with Dez coming back. I'd hate to lose Gainey.
Yeah, but, I mean, Barnes's guys go on to get head coaching positions. So I think we have to be prepared to lose him in the next year or two. Bear, we've got, Coach Barnes he's got a lot of strengths, man. It takes a lot longer to list his strengths than it does his weaknesses. His strengths are that he's a great program builder. As far as having a spiritual center of everything that you do in a program, the guy who sets the tone, these are our values, this is the way we play, this is the kind of people we are off the court, this is how hard we work, there's nobody better. There's nobody better at that stuff in college basketball than Rick Barnes. He recruits well. He develops. His players generally get better. He wins. He wins, man. He wins. Regular season Rick is fantastic. Always going to be in the top 25. His weaknesses are short, man, and it's just unfortunately they're not things that you can easily gloss over. The in-game coaching, I don't think anybody's going to confuse him with Jay Wright or Tom Izzo or any of those guys. And then just the NCAA tournament for whatever. You can't deny the record, man. It's not good.
What is his record now?
Well, it was 25 and 26. I think he was one. He had one more loss than he had wins coming in. And so he wins two and loses one. Does that make him 500?
Yes, if my math is correct.
Yeah, I'm going to take my shoes off. See what the idiots on the drive can do basic addition here. So he's a 500 coach in the tournament. I think he's been 27 times. He's got 27 losses. He hasn't won it.
Mm-mm. Man, oh, man.
So, look, I realize that Coach Barnes is going to take some slings and arrows today, as he did last night on Volunteer Reaction. That's fine. He, like I said, you know, he's the, what, third or fourth highest paid coach in the country?
Fourth.
I don't know that he deserves it, but he could certainly take it. So I'm not gonna stop any of that. What I do have a problem with, Bear, is something that we heard it last night. I've seen a lot of it on Twitter, unfortunately. Just the people that run down the players, man. You know, people calling our seniors soft. They want to get rid of them. Really, Kamwa, just, man, I don't get it. And here's the thing about that, Bear, is we're all hurting today, right, as Tennessee fans. And the longer you've been following it, the more you hurt, I think. But I guarantee you, and you've been following it longer than I have, and I've been following it 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee you, there isn't a player on that team that hurts less than we do. All of those guys, man. And listen, I know. I've got sources inside that program who I've seen these stories firsthand. I've heard them firsthand. I'm telling you, the hours that these guys put in to it, you wouldn't believe it if you saw it, people. You wouldn't believe how much these guys work on their games. And you don't think that Olivier Kamwa feels terrible today? I can't imagine the pain he must feel, man. All of these guys come here thinking they're going to the NBA, every single one of them. You don't get to scholarship player at a Power 5 conference. And just like they do at Kentucky, just like they do at Alabama, just like they do at Mississippi State. All the guys, you get an SEC basketball scholarship, all of those guys, when they come into a program, think they're going to the NBA.
Yeah.
And, you know, Josiah Jordan James was a five-star. He came here to get to the NBA. Kamwa, you know, they sold him on, you can be the next Grant Williams. And we saw that flash. We saw it in the Duke game. And then he turns around and did what he did last night. You think he did that on purpose? You think he wasn't pressing? You think he didn't want to explode again? Man, I guarantee you he feels a lot worse than we do. So, I don't know, man. I can't help but feel for those guys. And I get it. Again, our fans are disappointed, and I'm disappointed right there with them. But, man, some of the vitriol that's I've seen it, man, and I don't like it. But, hey, it's free country. You get to do what you want to do, say what you want to say, think what you want to think. But I wish that we wouldn't eat our own the way we do like that. Again, you want to come after Barnes, Rich Barnes, like that's fine. But, man, I hate seeing our guys. Freaking Vescovy was taking it last night, too. So, anyway, my thoughts on that. You got thoughts on it. Would love to hear from you today. 865-546-8200. We're going to take a quick timeout. We'll come right back and get these phone calls going live today at National Law Rex in Farragut. Folks, if you are feeling down, if you're feeling bad about the team, what you saw yesterday, nitric oxide will make you feel better. It'll get that blood flowing, get some more oxygen to your brain, get those synapses firing. Come on out and ask about nitric oxide supplements right here at National Law Rex. You can get them shipped anywhere. We've still got the 25% off Ananda Professional CBD products through the end of the month. So one more week of that. 31 days in March, is that correct? Yes. One more week of March Madness with CBD 25% off here. You can come check that out this afternoon. We got to take a quick time out. Stay with us. The drive continues. Your phone calls coming up. Fan Run Radio, the drive continues. Russell Bear and Marcus Young back with you on a Friday edition of the show, live today at National RX. All right, Bear, are you ready for this? Are you ready to do this?
Absolutely.
You ready to take these calls?
Yep.
All right, here we go. Phil is up first today on the Big Orange Phillies phone lines. What's up, Phil?
What do you say, Debbie?
Hey, Philly.
How you, Bear and Marcus Young doing?
Tired.
Surviving.
Trying to move forward, as Jeremy Pruitt would say.
You know the old cliche, you can't teach an old dog new tricks.
I've heard that before.
That's Rick Barnes. He's not going to conform on the offensive ball, which everybody is a modern-era basketball now. We're not playing modern basketball.
You know, I mean, they changed their offense to shoot a lot more threes last year, and it worked off and on. My problem, Philly, is just the inconsistency. He's got to get himself some shooters, man. If you're going to shoot more, you can't shoot more threes unless you have 3-point shooters.
Yeah.
And that team we played last night, they got a bunch of 3-point shooters on them.
Your theory of Rick Barnes signing high school players late in the spring signing period for next year is bogus, because there's nothing good to get in the spring signing period. That's the reason why the portal, either go portal, JUCO, or go overseas. That's the only alternatives Rick Barnes has got.
Philly, this program has signed Chris Lofton in the spring period, Juwan Smith signed in the spring period, Zakai Ziegler signed in the spring period, Toby Awaka signed in the spring period. Now, you tell me the transfers that we've gotten.
Well, all our transfers are garbage.
Okay. Well, how is my theory bogus then? I just gave you four examples of good players we got in the spring.
Four examples of what? In 15 years? You're including Buck Pearl signees. And Buzz Peterson got them. Good Lord, Juwan Smith was a walk-on.
I don't care who got him. There are good players available in the spring, including two on this roster right now.
And then he gets these five stars, and he can't coach them up. That's another problem. What five-star outside of Kenny Chandler has been coached up in the last 5 years?
Well, I mean, just more ammunition for my theory, Philly, that get some of these overlooked guys that are a little bit late. Have seemed to be our best players through the years, regardless of who the coach is.
Yeah, it might be. But everybody else is getting 4 and 5 stars, and we're not. I mean, his system isn't working. He plays great defense. He's like Tony Bennett, except Tony Bennett's got a championship. Rick Barnes and Tony Bennett, they're dinosaurs now in this new age of basketball.
Well, we're going to see some teams tonight, Princeton, Creighton, probably not a lot of 5 stars out there, probably not a lot of 5 stars on San Diego's roster, not a lot of 5 stars on Florida Atlantic's roster, not a lot of 5 stars on Kansas State's roster. Gonzaga advances.
No, transfers, though. Like you said, we can't go on the portal. Tanya State's whole roster is from the portal.
Yeah, I mean, that guy's found the formula, obviously.
Yeah. That's what Rick Barnes needs to do, but I don't understand what he's doing. He's just over there collecting a check, winning enough to stay on the job. I mean, he's not going to win a championship. Everybody knows it. You know, he ain't going to get to the Final Four.
You don't know that, Phil.
Killing time until he retires. That's what it is. And you're talking about the players. Don't criticize the players. Now the players are taking NIL money. They're opening game. Especially if they don't give effort. And I didn't see much effort in the second half last night.
I think you can criticize without getting personal. And
well,
you know,
I do agree with that. People are overboard with it.
Yeah.
But the saying we're a soft basketball team is really right. We are soft. We let grow great against Duke because they're a soft basketball team. Right, one more thing. I want you to apologize to me and Jake the Snake. We were right and you were wrong. See you.
No, they weren't.
What were you right about?
He's already
there's no way Tennessee beats Duke. I mean, we've got it on tape. We were right. You were wrong. I didn't say Tennessee was going to win last night. As a matter of fact, I remember on this show, Bear, people were accusing me yesterday of being overly negative. People were accusing me on the halftime chat last night of being too negative. Mm-hmm. We were up five. What was I wrong about? When people were wrong, were you?
They're just
the thing about these radio shows is we record them all now. So it's all out there. You show me, you go find all our, every show that we've done for the past 10 years is available online. Everything.
He won't.
Every word I've uttered this year on this show and on Voluntary Reaction is available online. You can go find it. Anybody listening to this right now can go find it. Bring me a quote where I was wrong.
I think I've got every show going back like three years in my backpack.
Bring me a quote where I was wrong. I mean, we played a Monday where you guys were wrong. We played the clips. Anybody can go find this stuff. So,
I mean, Phil's kind of a blowhard. I mean, he'll get into his personal echo chamber at 6 o'clock and get stroked and be told that he was right about everything. And their mutual admiration society he's got between him and.
I mean, look, that's fine. It's all on tape, man. You show me something that I was wrong that needs to apologize for, I will be the first to apologize for it. Absolutely. But we played the clips Monday and nobody wanted to apologize for that. It's funny how that works. Let's get Martin in here next. Martin, you're on the drive. It's Fan Run Radio. Good afternoon, sir.
Yes, Russell.
Martin.
I told you about Justin Gainey.
You did. You called it. He hasn't taken the job yet. I mean, let's see what happens.
What's the salary they pay out at High Point?
Boy, that's a great question. Probably not much.
Maybe about $250,000 a year.
If you're lucky.
You know what? I'm hesitant to even offer a guess, Martin. I have no idea.
I know how much Rick Pitino made it. I own it.
It was like $600,000?
No. $466,000 a year.
That's Rick Pitino, though.
Yeah.
I know it.
I mean, if that's what Iona's paying, and I feel like High Point is probably not quite on that level. If that's what Pitino's making there, you know, I don't think there's any guarantees that being a head coach at High Point would be a salary increase for Justin Gainey. So it might just be one of those things like, how bad do you want to – he's from High Point. He grew up there in that town. He's a North Carolina guy. I just wonder, you know, how much do you want to run your own program versus – the money side of it, and obviously we're all different when we balance those things out.
Yes. And Russell, we still can pull for the Lady Vols.
Big game tomorrow, Martin.
I know it. I look forward to getting back in Virginia Tech. We got to pay them back, Russell, for for what they done to us here. But Rashid Jackson didn't play that game, and Hollingshead didn't play that game, and Jasmine Franklin didn't play that game.
Payback. It's a different team now, Martin.
Yes. Who all's up for the High Point job besides Justin Ginney? Have you heard?
I have no idea, my friend. I've not been following the High Point coaching search closely.
Yes.
We'll do some digging on that for you, though. There might be some information out there on the interwebs. Martin, can you look into that? Marcus, can you look in, see if we can find any
Russell,
information?
Can I ask you one more thing for Marcus to do for me?
Yeah. Put him to work, Martin.
Can you tell me who Duke Shelby was, a cornerback at the Raiders signed?
Sibley?
No, Duke Shelby.
Duke Shelby. All right, we got him on it, Mark.
E-L-L-E-Y.
All right, we'll get that information for you. Stay tuned. Marcus, you better have that before the end of the hour. My guy Martin's listening. He expects you to deliver.
I've got I got Duke Shelley already if you want me to go ahead and get that one first. I'm looking into High Point. Duke Shelley is 26 years old, 5'9", 176-pound corner. Went to Kansas State. He's played with Chicago and Minnesota.
How many years he signed for?
Great question. I don't know if they've announced his actual contract just yet.
1 year deal for just over $1 million, Martin.
Yeah, there it is.
Yes. So what about Justin Ginney? You going to tell me?
I'm looking for that one right now. I'm looking at High Point basketball searching right now. I'm trying to see if I can find some news on that one. See what I can get for you.
Martin, we appreciate you, buddy.
Oh,
Tubby Smith was the coach at High Point. So they have invested a little bit there.
What conference do they play in?
Looking that up, his Tubby's son, Gigi. Remember Gigi at Georgia back in the day?
Is he the one that looked like he was from Venus?
No, you're thinking of Saul from Kentucky.
High Point is in the Big South.
They just opened a brand new arena there, I'm told. And it is a showpiece for that level. They do have some money to invest over there at High Point.
Russ, could I do a little bit of complaining for a moment?
I don't know, Marcus, can you? I mean, go ahead. Everybody else is, except for my guy Martin. Martin was actually pretty positive, but
he was.
I feel
like I've been positive.
Here's what's frustrating, and it kind of goes along with what you were talking about earlier, Russ, in the show. For those who are like Phil, who called in for an apology, or people saying on Twitter wanting an apology. To me, it comes down to we don't need an apology. We don't need to get that kind of apology going.
But
I don't understand. What are you?
Sorry.
Expound on that, please.
I was being directed towards a computer because we thought we'd lost you. We don't need to give an apology for what's going on because what's happened is not because the Barnes Bashers are right. Yeah, we probably need to look at changing our offensive system a bit. We don't need to be complaining about the success that we've had that we have not been experiencing up to this point. Like you said, we're constantly in the tournament. We're constantly in the top 25, top 10. It's ridiculous to just, after we lose a tough game, to go around celebrating saying we were right. Like, it's just frustrating.
Here's the thing. The Barnes Bashers never happy. They weren't happy when we were number two in the country this year. They were livid. They were absolutely unhappy. And when we're winning, they say, well, it doesn't matter what you do in the regular season. It only matters in the postseason. But then on the next breath, they're criticizing what's happening in the regular season. So it's heads I win, tails you lose with those people. There's just no pleasing them. So...
Mm-mm. There's not.
It's whatever. Let's get Polish Joe in here next. Good afternoon, Polish Joe. You're on the drive. It's Fan Run Radio.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing well. How are you, sir?
Not too bad. I want to kind of – I just have a little comedy real quick. I try to get you to laugh a little.
Okay.
Russell and Bear, what do you think is the better offensive system? Butch Jones's Ferris State Frenzy or Barnes's Weave and Heave?
Oh, man.
Did I get a laugh?
I don't know. What did we finish? 63rd, I think, in KenPom offensive efficiency. It's not great. It's not terrible. It's just sort of meh. And that's kind of what Butch Jones's offense was to me. It's just sort of meh. You could find the numbers, and it's like, oh, it's over 400 yards a game. They're putting up some decent points. But you watch the games, and it's just like, meh. It's like eating a piece of white toast or wheat toast with no butter on it, you know?
Do you know where we could get that T-shirt that says, "We whoop Gonzaga in a preseason scrimmage"? And
but
one
you can
last
get a T-shirt made
I,
anywhere now, Polish Joe. I don't know right. How many of those you're going to sell.
One last thing, too, is do you think it's ironic that when we did handle Gonzaga, it was a scrimmage and the – in a scrimmage, you basically throw the ball out and let the kids play.
Well, that's not what really happened if you watched that game.
What, in the scrimmage?
It was not a scrimmage. It was an exhibition basketball game played in Dallas. You had two teams fly at considerable distance and cost to get there. And if you watched the game, you know, they're wearing their uniforms, and it's not like – I don't think BJ played in that game. I don't think DJ played in that game. Walk-ons didn't play in that game. Same thing
good.
For Gonzaga. Those coaches were coaching to win. Like, I get it. It's an exhibition game. It doesn't count. But
the thing that's wild also is when we had one night to prepare for Duke, and we handled them. I was right with you. I watched them. You know, and we played well. We did great. But then, you know, 5 more days of preparation to do this joystick coaching, and look what happens. The more coaching we have, the worse we get. I mean, it sucks. It really sucks, man. I'm just mad because these kids play so hard, and the best thing that a coach can do is put the kids in best positions to succeed, and we're not doing it.
Yeah. Joe, I appreciate you, my friend. Anything else? I feel your pain, brother.
That's it. Thank you for letting me talk.
Thank you, my friend. We've talked about this several times, and I can't help but wonder if it wasn't a factor, because I've heard from people close to the program that have wondered this, and some of the players that have transferred out. I talked in first segment, Bear, I don't like the name calling and the questioning
right.
of the toughness and all that stuff of the players, because I know how hard they work, and I know you know how hard they work. And
yeah.
We talk to these guys, and the hours that they put in, it's you know, you can criticize not rising to the occasion, whatever. You cannot criticize the amount of work that was put in. These guys were prepared. But the one thing I come back to is – and, you know, Santi made that comment last week before the Louisiana game about how he hated playing those games late. And people kind of ripped him, rolled their eyes or whatever. But
I mean, he was just telling them. I mean, he was just saying, just I didn't get that either.
I don't know that this has – I don't know how much – this is a little bit of speculation station, granted. But I know for a fact one of the players who transferred out in recent years, his specific complaint – that he told to a good friend of mine was he thought that the coaching staff here worked them so hard on game day that by the time they got to the game that they were mentally and emotionally exhausted. You get to the arena 8 hours before tip-off, you have a meeting, you get taped up, you go out, you have a shoot around, you come back, you have more meetings, you have a team meal, you go out and shoot some more, you're looking at film, you're going over all this stuff, and by the time you get to, particularly for night games, right? In earlier games, it's not as much of a problem because it happens earlier and you're not sitting around all day. And, you know, I'm not looking to make excuses. I'm looking for reasons. And this is something that could be adjusted if it's a legitimate detriment. Maybe it's not. I don't know. Again, this is speculation here, but we have another late tip. The game before goes to overtime. That game tips off after 9:30 p.m. last night. Our guy's been in New York City in a hotel room all day long, doing whatever they're doing. They're not sitting around, man. They're working. You can say we had one game to prepare for Duke. They had coaches looking at that all week, prepared to prepare. Preparation is not an issue. I wonder if over-preparation is. Because we come out ready to play. We're controlling that game, Bear, and then the bottom falls out. And I wonder if fatigue.
Just ran mentally, out of gas?
I wonder if there's something to that. I really do.
Lack of concentration. It was all there. And then just dumb mistakes that you make when you're tired. You know?
Let's take a quick break. The Drive continues live this afternoon. National RX, thank Jets Pizza for feeding us today. Had a big old chunk of pepperoni deep dish and absolutely great. Fantastic. Check them out here in Farragut right next to the Shrimp Dock. We'll take a quick break. More of your phone calls coming up next here on Fan Run Radio. Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues, 105.7 FM, 1340 AM, streaming online at fanrunradio.com, your free Fan Run app. Variety of ways for you to listen to the show this afternoon. Russell Bear and Marcus with you. I'm live today down at National RX, 11134 Kingston Pike, right next to Wendy's out here in Farragut. And we go back to the Big Orange Phillies phone lines. First-time caller Adam is next. Hello, Adam.
Hey guys, this relationship that I guess the fan base has with Rick Barnes feels like one of the more, I guess, nuanced ones we've had throughout the time whenever he first got here. I mean, if you think about when he first got here, you think you're going to get all this recruiting prowess and land these big names, and you don't do that for a while, and then you have success with the 2-3-star players. People want him to wear the orange jacket, and you had the professional wrestling people on, a few months ago, and I feel like this is a good basketball state, but I feel like the fans here need a little bit of that, professional wrestling to go along with their college basketball to really get into it. And then you just have kind of the stubbornness. I mean, Russell, I think you referenced it a few weeks ago with the B.J. Edwards stuff. It's like if fans almost said, hey, don't play B.J. Edwards, we don't want you to play him, it's almost like Rick would then decide to do it. It's like the whole thing with the timeouts and not wanting to call a timeout in the middle of a run. It's just like he doesn't want to do it because he's just being stubborn. I'm not a Barnes basher, but I also wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be disappointed if he decided to retire and we go spin the wheel and see if we can. I know it'd get a lot worse, but it also just feels like we're kind of stuck and we know we're not going to get past where we've been. It just feels like a really nuanced situation. I know there's people are loudest kind of on both ends, but I feel kind of torn in the middle, just not really sure how to break down this entire relationship that we have with him and not really sure what to think, I guess.
No, I think that's a really good way of describing the situation and kind of how I feel too. I'm not, I'm not desperate to see a coaching change here. Is there a part of me that is kind of curious is like what it would look like if Coach Barnes left now and the program's in great shape? It'd be a lot easier to go out and hire a good coach and not have much of a downturn if you made the change now, as opposed to if you made the change when you're coming off a year where you didn't make the tournament, where you don't have any good players on the roster or good players coming in. But it's just a gamble, man. It's just a gamble. Yeah.
Well, I guess for the Barnes bashers,
anytime you go out in football, basketball, baseball, anytime you go out trying and hire a coach, man, you just don't know. Very rarely is it. I know somebody said, well, Georgia forced out Mark Richt. It's like, yeah, they had Kirby Smart, a guy they know was going to take the job, waiting right there, and they decided to make that change, and it's worked out for them. Just like we had Fulmer waiting in 92. We don't have that guy right now. There's not the obvious dude. It's like, yeah, you call that guy, he's going to take the job. Don't talk to me about Jay Wright. He's not coming here. Don't talk to me about Scott Drew at Baylor. He's not coming here. That's not going to happen. So, like, unless you have a surefire, can't-miss replacement ready to step in, it's a gamble. If you're wanting Rick Barnes gone, you don't know that you're going to get anything better. And the odds are, might get something worse.
And I think it'd be easier to hold out hope for something better if the stubbornness just wasn't so apparent. Like, it's kind of hard to hold out hope that something's going to change whenever the stubbornness has just been so clear. And I guess the issue I have with the other side of the spectrum of the people who are ripping the Barnes bashers are like, oh, well, it's Tennessee basketball. You can't have high expectations. I mean, Gary Green was in the 2016 was very close to getting to the Elite Eight. I feel like some people kind of undersell us as a program. I mean, especially with NIL now and how easy it is to turn around a roster, if you really want to invest the money, I mean, Tennessee's definitely a place where you could have success. It's not like Rick Barnes is the first person to ever have success here, and he's some miracle worker. So, again, just another, it's really nuanced. So, I'm you know, curious to see, you know, how much longer he decides to be here. And but, I don't know, just really disappointing to just see us crap the bed again, I guess.
For sure. Frustrating. Great phone call, Adam. Really appreciate it, my man. Thank you. 865-546-8200, your number to get on the Big Orange Phillies phone lines, 546-8200. Let's get El Diablo in here next. What's up, man?
I'm going to follow up with what Adam was just saying. You know, I think the fan base in Texas, I think we're kind of getting to that situation where he was, he's a consistent winner, and he just cannot get you over the hump. And I guess, like Texas, we're paying a man $6 billion, and I think we're just at this point, while most of this fan base seems happy and content with the participation trophy you're getting for being NCAA, a lot of us want to see more than that. And I'm just telling you, it just gets frustrating. You know, we've had some years. This year we had a really, I won't say easy path, but anytime there's a Cinderella in the dadgum NCAA tournament, Rick Barnes is like Prince Charming. He finds it and makes sure they get to the ball.
Well, you go back to Barnes at Texas, and everybody talks about the Final Four he made with T.J. Ford in 2003, but he also made the Elite Eight there in 06 and 08. So they're probably feeling pretty good at that point. They're rolling. After 2008, when he made the Elite Eight, they went 7 years, which is the rest of his time there, without getting out of the second round. So you can understand how 7 years without even making the Sweet 16 would wear on a fan base. And if he did that here, they'd push him out. But
Russell, you know, I didn't hear the first part of the
show. He's made
the
Sweet 16, what, three times in twice in 4 years or something like that now. So we're not anywhere near that point.
Russell, I didn't hear the first part of the show, but was there any discussion about, you know, I heard Adam, and I agree with him 100% about this stubbornness. And, you know, I would love to just hear Coach Barnes own it and just talk, you know, reference why he doesn't use timeouts, why he tries to rotate his substitutions like it's a hockey shift, and why Key seemed to have a green light last night to keep shooting and shooting. And just there was just a lot of kind of bizarre moves last night, or non-moves. Like, what happened to Awaka? Was he over there next? Was he on the bench with B.J. Edwards talking about class finals? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, Awaka had a brief cameo in the first half, but really did not make an impact.
Yeah, and when we're getting pounded on the offensive glass, yeah, and you got a guy that's an enforcer. I just, like I said, I would love to hear Rick Barnes own it and explain, because, listen, I'd say it if he's standing right here next to me. You know, he's making $6 million a year, and at the end of the day, college basketball is a business. And we like to throw the word great around here so loosely all the time. He's great at this. He's great. Coach Barnes is a good coach. He's far from great, because greatness is measured by success in March. And in March, he is left wanting.
Yeah. No, I feel you, man. It's tough. We're going to hear from Coach Barnes here in just a second. He did speak at length last night and candidly and had some interesting comments we're going to go through. But appreciate your time, Diablo. Anything else?
No, man. Thanks for having a great show and listening for the rest of the night. And, hey, have a good weekend for you, Bear, and the whole crew, okay?
Thank you. Appreciate it, my friend. 865-546-8200, your number to get on board the Big Orange Phillies phone lines. Live today, National Law Rex in Farragut, where we are today. Read an article about the hazards of buying male enhancement supplements from service stations this week. Jim over here at National Rx sent it to me. It's enlightening.
Why would you I don't understand why you would go to a gas station to buy that.
Yeah, it's very risky, actually. And the person who wrote this article was saying that they had some pretty serious health problems. You can buy this stuff from a licensed pharmacist, folks, people who know what they're doing. Don't risk it. Come to National Law Rex, whether you're buying the sildenafil, a prescription product, or you're doing the nitrous oxide, which is over-the-counter. You want to talk to somebody who can give you the directions, what to do, how to use it, how not to use it, before you start taking these things. So be sure to do that. And no better place to purchase sildenafil or National Law Rex or nitric oxide than National Law Rex right here in West Knoxville. Let's hear from Coach Barnes this afternoon. He spoke at length about the game last night. And here's Coach Barnes just talking about what went wrong there towards that critical moment in the second half.
Well, I thought, one, in the first half, they had some shots that we were lucky we dodged that. But when they started scoring, our offense wasn't very good. And we gave up too many drives. And then along with that, offensive rebounds where we let them get downhill. And a couple situations where those we did a better job in the second half staying down on shot fakes early in the first half. That's why we were getting into so much rotation, because we were leaving our feet. Went under a few ball screens, but I thought offensively, and we needed to continue to put pressure on them at the rim, whether it was throwing it inside or whether it was driving the ball, and we didn't do enough of that. Where we got the ball there, we needed to finish more to continue to keep pressure on them to where they had to guard us. And then they got some separation. They got relaxed. And they're a really good shooting team. They shoot it. But the offensive rebounds were big. And we normally don't do that, but we did today.
Rebound thing was really perplexing. Stay with us. The drive continues. Hour number two. We'll talk more about that when we come back. More Fan Run Radio coming up.